double jointed, triple threat. I'm not some method actress trying to see my descent. You're gonna have to play the tape backwards. Save that breath for choir practice. Got no time for my detractors. Standing on my staircase, all you are is a fire hazard.
This is You Who Choose to Lead Must Follow. A Star Wars original trilogy, Star Wars The Book of Boba Fett, fanfic. Written by Litra and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Boba Fett, Leia Organa, with additional tags for Slow Burn, Reluctant Allies to Lovers, Planet Tatooine, Force-Sensitive Leia Organa, New Republic Politics, Reconstruction Era, Leia the Hutt Slayer, Mention of Canon Events. Leia has a type. Tusken species. The tedious side of planetary leadership. Fennec, the reluctant matchmaker. Based on the Actual Facts Crime Boss AU, an oral notfic by me, Raina Jenkins, as part of Drop the Knot 2022. For the prompt, in which the people of Mos Espa have erected a larger-than-life statue of Leia the Hutt Slayer in the city center. This is the first thing Boba Fett sees when he shows up to enact crime lord-shaped revenge on the Pike Syndicate. This changes Boba's whole approach to crime lording and leads to identity fraud, fake dating, political intrigue, and real feelings.
I put my time in now. I'm vetted, uncontested. See how an honest answer shuts down motherfuckers asking trick questions. I'm out here arms wide, hiding nothing. I've done it all in broad daylight, and I left the cameras running. I'm famous, and red eyes shining in the camera flash. My secret is I don't keep on seeing something. Go ahead and say something. I ain't afraid of it. I don't drown. We'll stay down. He finds a way to rise somehow.
Act 1. Boba. Boba didn't actually see the statue at first. He moved into Jabba's old palace. That was step 1. Step 2 was throwing out or shooting anyone who wasn't willing to deal with him among the staff. That took longer than he'd predicted. Half of them were slaves. They either didn't care who owned them, or hated any master on general principle. Sometimes both. Often both. Others swore to him, then disappeared in the night, or tried to kill him in his bacta tank. So far, none of them had succeeded. But that didn't stop the rest of them from trying. The house cleaning and internal reorganization took 4 days. So it wasn't until the 5th day, when he and Fennec ventured out into the morning to start surveying the rest of his new holdings, that he saw the monument. The statue stood on an overturned cart that had been there long enough to sink into the hard-packed dirt of the square. At a glance, the figure was human, female, larger than life, and shapely. The statue had been made out of scrap metal and spare bits of fabric. Shards of bright blue pottery took the place of eyes. A braid of fabric and bantha hair formed a long braid down the woman's back. Wires had been carefully twisted to form a raised fist, from which a length of broken chain hung in a declaration of defiance. Boba mostly recognized the figure because of the breast bikini it was wearing. Boba stopped, letting the metrics in his helmet pan over the statue. Beside him, Fennec stepped to one side so she could watch their back. Her own helmet was tucked under one arm, so Boba was able to catch the raised eyebrow and quiet smile she let slip. "What, bikinis not to your taste?" Boba hummed. 8D8, the palace droid who had been showing them the way, stopped and dipped into a small bow.
"Ah, yes. That is a tribute to Leia the Hutt Slayer. It was erected by the local rebel. Bib Fortuna ordered it removed several times, but it was replaced. You need not worry. I will have a group of slaves sent to cart it away and smelt it down as soon as we return to the palace.
Bo was spared a moment to look at the droid before returning his gaze to the statue.
No need.
In his opinion, sending slaves to destroy something that symbolized freedom from one of their greatest oppressors was a torture in itself. Besides, I was there. It was an impressive act. He hadn't really seen it. He'd already been falling by that point. But he'd seen enough of Leia Organa Solo to respect her. 8D8 seemed confused. Or maybe it was trying to compute an answer that wouldn't get it scrapped.
Sir?
It ended up asking. By then, they were being watched. Not in a bad way. Boa's instincts weren't screaming at him yet. Most of the locals still didn't recognize him on sight. That would change. Still, there was no one else standing in the middle of the crossroad, openly looking at a work of art that was formerly forbidden. He casually scanned the area, taking note of the people nearby. An old man was buffing rust off a bit of scrap metal. A Weequay woman was looking after two small children, with another looking over her shoulder from a pack. An R2 unit hooked up to a hover cart was being led by a pair of Jawas. A Trandoshan was counting out boxes and comparing the contents to a tablet. Others watched him as they made their way into or out of town. Moisture farmers on Eopius, slaves running errands. They had enough of a crowd that news of anything he did or said would travel. Boba raised his voice. Not enough to shout, but enough that he could be easily heard. Let it stand. And let it be known that anyone who tries to dismantle it will answer to me. The droid shifted, gears whirring in the heat. Problem? Fennec asked.
No, ma'am.
The droid processed things for a moment longer, then dipped again.
Would you like to continue?
Yes. Lead on, Boba said. He waved a hand, his mind already on the next issue, and the problems he would face trying to pull together this unruly population. He would remember that day in the years to come, and marvel at the oddity of the galaxy. Boba removed his helmet as they entered the cantina. It was the end of the day, and the end of their circuit. His armor's internal cooling was starting to fail, and his injuries were starting to ache. He needed another back to treatment, but not yet. First, a drink. No, we're not here for drinks. We have business with Garza Flip, Fennec said, when a droid greeted them. It was true, but there was also a steel in her tone that drew his attention. Had she seen something he hadn't?
It looks like business is good,
Boba commented, using that as an excuse to scan the area. The crowd at the nearest gaming table was cheering over a win. Service slaves and working girls leaned in to praise the winner. A group of off-world investors in red robes leaned over a table. The band lifted their instruments in the climax of a modern jazz adaptation to a classic song, something Boba could almost place. A pair of Twi'leks, male and female, green and yellow, wearing nothing but loin wraps and a metal chest piece for the female, approached. Would you like your helmets serviced and cleaned while you wait for Madame Garza? The male Twi'lek asked. His voice was to the point, but the way he dropped his eyes made it clear that wasn't the only thing they were offering. No, Fennec answered, almost before he got the question out. She was still scanning the room for threats. Boba didn't say anything, and in this instance, he was inclined to trust his instincts. They had been to far more dangerous places today. If they were going to be attacked, the middle of a crowded cantina wasn't the place for it. Sure. Here, take both of ours.
what state he got the helmets back in would tell him what kind of business arrangement Madame Garza wanted. The two Twi'leks nodded and offered up willing smiles as they slipped away. Then the Madame approached with open arms. "Welcome to the sanctuary," she said, gesturing to the whole of the cantina as if to a work of art or a fine performance. "Should you care to partake of our sundry offerings?" She glanced between them, and her tone shifted from hostess to a woman who was sizing up a customer. Her leku curled over her shoulders, distracting the eye down to her modest but finely decorated cleavage.
"Another time. I'm here to talk business."
Her leku slid to her back at his words, and she nodded, her posture changing to something less overtly enticing, more straightforward, at least at a glance. "Ah, then business it is. And who might I have the honor of doing business with?"
"I am Boba Fett, and this is Master Assassin Fennec Shand. I have replaced Bib Fortuna."
Garza leaned back, her hands coming up in front of her, fingertips just touching. "Apologies, I didn't see your litter."
"I wasn't carried on a litter. I walk on my own 2 feet."
He looked her in the eye.
"Start off as you mean to go on." The madam nodded.
"Of course. Well, I expect you'd like to see the books. Our little paradise may not be much compared to other worlds, but I assure you we do good business for Tatooine."
Her flirtatious attitude was back.
She leaned in, resting a hand on his arm. "There is also the matter of policy. I understand that things can be strained when power changes hands, and I wouldn't want to serve someone you had cast out, for instance."
This time, her gesture was smaller, but just as graceful.
Boba hesitated. He hadn't planned to strong-arm her, but she had a point. Many of Bib Fortuna's policies were going to be thrown out on the heap, and as a local business leader, the madam could enforce those changes faster and more effectively than he could from the castle.
Fennec was waiting for his choice, eyes still scanning the room at intervals.
"Very well, lead on."
Madame Garza led them to a back room, whispering to her two Twi'lek companions along the way. The room had several chairs built for the comfort of several different species, and a central desk made of wood, a rarity on a desert planet. Garza let them choose their seats, and a moment later, her companions briefly joined them. One of them brought in a jug of water, cold enough that condensation was rolling down the sides. The other offered a tray of glasses, and a sealed bottle of something stronger.
"Guard the door,"
Boba instructed the Gamorreans. Then the door was closed, and the battlefield stretched before him.
Boba had discussed and negotiated his own contracts since he was younger than most children knew what contracts were. He was not going to underestimate the woman across from him. She was a professional, and this was her field. He sat straight and laid out an offer of friendship with his opening gambit.
"I want to assure you that your business will continue to thrive under my watchful eye."
Garza leaned forward over the table, her leku curling.
"That is a relief to hear. I'm sure we can work together to our mutual benefit. Of course, there are just a few details that I'd like to sort out here at the start to make sure that relationship goes as smoothly as possible."
And there was the opening salvo.
Fennec grabbed the sealed bottle and leaned back in her chair, clearly yielding the floor to him. Boba studied Madame Garza, the elegance with which she held herself, even here at the ass end of the galaxy. She had a strength in her. The strength of a willow tree, able to bend without breaking at the core.
"Ask. I'll answer as I may." No promises. Not while there were cards left to be played.
Garza pursed her lips, choosing her words with care. Over the past few days, word has come out of the palace that paints an interesting picture. She leaned in and put a hand on his arm again, speaking in a low, confiding tone. Is it true you fed Bib Fortuna to his own rancor?
He was already dead when I threw him in that pit, and the rancor was gone. Sold off, I assume, so no.
Boba settled back in his seat, taking his arm out of her reach.
Is that all you're interested in? The fate of the dead?
Garza straightened her leku in a gesture that might have been offense. Lord Fett, how you go about dispatching your enemies can deliver all kinds of messages to the right people, and I, as the local matron, will be expected to tell the story in as much or as little detail as is known to anyone. How am I supposed to spread word of your mighty conquest if all I have is hearsay and rumor?
Boba shook his head. Fortuna was no conquest. It was just a parasite who crawled out of Jabba's shadow. And everyone knows who killed the Hutt.
Yes, they call her Leia the Hutt Slayer. Though who knows the truth, really? Why would a rebellion general come all the way out here, take out a major player on a backwater planet, and then not stake her claim? But people will believe what they want. You've seen the statue, I'm sure. You know, half the people in the lower district, serfs and slaves and such, are still spreading stories about how she's going to come out of the desert and free them all. Give water to the masses and all that.
She was watching him again. Or rather, she had never stopped, but now there was a point to it.
Fennec shifted in her seat, making her presence known and letting her hand drift closer to the blade she had strapped to her thigh.
No, they didn't need threats here. They needed to win Garza over, and clearly she was fishing for some kind of information. It was Leia Organa. I was there. In fact, she stayed with me while she was on planet.
Ah, I had no idea you were so close.
Intimately close. True, it had only been one night, and he hadn't actually known who she was at the time, but Garza didn't know that. If she does decide to return, I'm the one she will find here. I'm the one who will show her a prosperous world, grateful for the freedom she provided.
Madame Garza nodded slowly.
I see. Well, I will gladly confirm that story to my patrons, assuming you don't want it kept secret.
She was still slightly tense, but her leku were curling again, showing some emotion he couldn't read.
No, tell anyone you like.
She seemed pleased with that.
Good. Hopefully, they could move on to the real business of the night. Now, how much tribute were you sending to Jabba?
She retrieved a small data pad and listed a number that was likely far below what she had paid to the others.
He wasn't offended. That was just good business.
Still, it did take the rest of the night to haggle for a proper tribute, and for the knowledge of her spy network, but she absolutely denied having.
Boba's bones were aching when he finally stepped into the night. He stopped to take a breath of the clear night air. That was the only reason he happened to spot movement on the rooftop.
Fennec?
She paused, then slid her helmet over her head.
Could be nothing. There was plenty of time for our location to spread.
With one hand, Boba drew a bag from his belt and started tipping the coins Madame Garza's aide had filled his helmet with into it. He never took his eyes off the buildings.
Can you tell how many?
Two groups. Maybe three per group. Maybe more in the buildings.
Fennec wasn't using her external speakers. No one more than a few feet away would be able to hear her. Boba didn't like it, but he wasn't in any condition for this fight. He already needed to get back to his back-to-tank, outnumbered as they were. This is not a smart fight.
Fennec tipped her head in his direction. Go. I'll see what I can learn.
You'll be all right on your own?
Better than with you slowing me down, old man. He could hear the tease in her voice.
Boba scanned the rooftops again. All right, I'll see you back at the fortress.
A flick of his wrist activated his jetpack, and soon he was in the cold air of a desert night. As much as his body complained, it was still a beautiful sight to end his day.
Boba turned the Meluron over in his hands, slicing off bits as he watched the second sun lift off the horizon from one of the sniper's nests in the upper floors. For all that Jabba had terrible taste in nearly everything, he had at least been practical when it came to his defenses.
He dreamt of the desert again, of the sand people. The first people to take him in and treat him as one of their own in... He couldn't count the years. Bounty hunters generally had a code, guild hunters especially. Non-guild hunters didn't last all that long. But the camaraderie he'd felt there was always edged. The Mandalorians weren't any different. When he'd been young, he hadn't been one of them because of how he'd been born. And now... Now there weren't enough Mandalorians left to form a real community. Tatooine wasn't what he might have chosen, but the deserts were his now, and he would do right by these people.
So this is where you were.
Fennec climbed the last of the steps, coming to lean against a balustrade just out of arm's reach.
Good morning. I expected you to still be in bed.
Boba carved off a piece of fruit and offered it to her on the tip of his blade.
Haven't made it there yet.
She took the fruit, looked it over, then started chewing on one end.
I've got news.
Boba turned to mirror her, leaning against his own pillar.
She wouldn't have come to find him if it wasn't important.
He crossed his arms and waited. I was able to get a hold of one of the men from last night. He's in the basement. She swallowed the last bit of fruit, licking a bit of juice off her fingers.
Dangerous?
She wasn't acting like it had been difficult, but that didn't mean it had been easy. She was a master of her craft, after all. Marginally. But I actually wanted to talk to you about something I heard on the way back. Boba waved her on. Apparently, word is spread that you're here as the hand of the Hutt Slayer. She lifted an eyebrow, inviting his reaction.
Boba frowned, giving that some thought. Madam Garza?
One can only assume. I tried to tell you she'd be trouble. Boba turned his gaze back to the desert and the city spread out below the rim of the canyon.
Perhaps.
Boba considered things for a minute longer.
The hand of the Hutt Slayer. Those were the exact words?
That was the gist of it. There were a couple of versions. Some said you were here to bring Tatooine into the Republic. Some said Leia Organa herself had sent you here. Word is, you've been working for the Rebellion since he disappeared. And no one knew about it, because Leia wanted it kept quiet.
Well, could be worse, I suppose. I'd much rather be an agent of the Republic than someone else.
Fennec turned to face him. In the morning light, he could see the start of circles under her eyes. The exhaustion she was keeping at bay.
That's it?
She waited until he met her eyes. I didn't join you to be some unwitting puppet. I may owe you, but not enough to tie myself to some... She showed her teeth. Bureaucratic circus.
Boba gave her a minute to breathe.
You're not. Like before, you are free to go whenever you like. Whenever this life does not suit you. But this, ruling a people, will not be glorious battles and cheering public. That would be true whether the Republic was involved or not.
It was her turn to think.
Do you really know her? Was that story about the sand people all poodoo or what?
Boba sliced off another piece of fruit, stuck it in the corner of his mouth, then started on a slice for her. His voice came out muffled, but understandable.
A little bit of both. I did know her, but she was using another name. I also considered hunting her at one time. I did my homework. If it comes down to it, I can claim loyalty to her as a warrior, not the Republic as a whole.
I'll admit, that bounty was an attractive one. Only one higher that I can remember is the one on Skywalker Kid. She took the slice of fruit when he offered it.
For now, I can shape the laws here so that the Republic will not be offended. The lower classes will appreciate that. And a leader must always take the will of the people into account. I was not planning on supporting the slavers in any case. Once you have been a slave, you can never forgive that kind of man.
Fennec glanced at him, then away. I didn't know you had been a slave.
Boba nodded and hummed.
In any case, the Republic is one front I'd rather not pick a fight with. The Pikes and the Huts will already be preparing to settle things. That's enough enemies for me.
At least for the moment, she agreed. She swallowed the last of her fruit, took a breath, and yawned.
Well, I'm off to bed.
Do me a favor and don't declare any more alliances before I wake up, huh? He didn't try to stop the smile.
No promises.
You haven't heard? Madame Garza asked, less than a week later.
Boba tilted his head.
They both knew where all the information circulated in this town, and it wasn't the palace.
She frowned. That meant it was serious. Normally, she would have played along.
The twins are on their way. They have Jabba's son with him.
Boba frowned.
That was serious.
Not many people knew that Jabba had a son. Boba had heard a rumor once that the little slug had been taken, or possibly traded off, to be a hostage against Jabba's loyalty. He'd heard other rumors that said Jabba's son had failed some test and been sent away in shame. When the youngling failed to appear and the years started to stretch, the rumors had mostly faded away.
I didn't realize the child was still alive.
Garza shrugged and flicked her Lego. While Jabba was alive, it didn't matter, and Fortuna was still paying tribute to the Hutts. Since we're part of the Republic now, they won't be getting their expected tribute.
So, a show of force, Boba said. That wasn't the worst outcome. He could handle a pair of Huts on his own ground. It was their hirelings that he was concerned with. He'd need information on who they had working for them, and how loyal they were.
Perhaps.
Madame Garza refilled his cup. Her eyes were flitting around the cantina, landing lightly on the gaming tables, the serving droids, the band, the girls entertaining a group in the back. It was noisy enough that they were probably not being eavesdropped upon, but they were also two of the most influential people in the city. People would pay attention.
The Huts are not well-loved here, that's true. But you are still untested, at least in this arena. However things fall out, it will certainly be entertaining.
Entertaining. Boba didn't particularly like the sound of that.
Around here, entertainment meant betting, and he was at the end of a stack of long odds.
When will they arrive?
He asked, looking into his drink. Tomorrow, in the morning. Garza smiled as a human in a wide-brimmed hat and a shirt covered in feathers came to order another drink. She served the stranger.
Boba swirled the last of a spatchka around the bottom of his glass before tossing it back. If anything changes, send word,
he said, picking up his helmet and turning toward the door. She offered up her professional smile and waved him off.
Trouble. He'd known something like this was coming. The Hutts wouldn't just let him walk in and take over. He needed some form of leverage on them. The Republic wasn't a valid threat, since he couldn't actually call them in for backup. And in any case, like Garza had said, he hadn't been tested yet.
Boba stepped out into the sun, letting the filters in his helmet shield him from the glare.
The two Hutts would arrive tomorrow. They would try to surprise him. They would likely make a show of it. Beating down this would-be upstart who didn't know his place.
He still didn't know how many fighters they'd have with them.
Boba popped his neck and rolled his shoulders. He'd need to be prepared for a fight, but that was fine. He was always prepared for a fight.
The Hutts arrived in a shuttle that stank both of wealth and of the ooze they secreted. Boba watched it land in front of the palace. It was too large to land in most of the approved shuttle docking pads, and if he had to guess, the Hutts would scorn any docking fees people tried to charge them. Boba had instructed the local tower to let them land wherever they wanted. He would still be the one to choose the battlefield. He wasn't the only one to notice their arrival. Around him, people whispered and gossiped. They watched him, clearly wondering what he was going to do, how he was going to react. Boba let them talk, let a crowd gather as they waited. He had his helmet and armor on, he had his Gedderfee in his hand, and his blaster on his hip. Behind him, the statue of Leia stood, a pillar against the sky. The end of the chain swung loose from her fist, creaking in the wind. The Hutts came down the hill on palanquins carried by slaves. They had gold and platinum bracelets and collars. Pleasure slaves waved silk fans in their direction. Between the twins, sitting on a golden cushion, was the little Huttling. He had been painted to look his best, but was ruining the effect by eating slugs out of a bucket, the slime dribbling down his front. With a waved command, the procession came to a stop. The bodyguards, at least 10 of them, spread out, growling and hissing at the crowd, threatening them until the people retreated. A Kefar man with a stripe across his nose didn't move fast enough for them and was kicked to the ground. The dark-haired Wookiee bellowed at him until the man scrambled to his feet and into the protective shelter of a doorway.
"Is this how you would treat my people?"
Boba said, before anything could start in earnest. He had the volume on his helmet turned up so that everyone in the square could hear, despite the fact that he spoke in his normal tones. Half the crowd had been moving to clear the area, sensible fear getting the better of curiosity. Now they paused. Slaves, beggars, shopkeepers and traders and jacks of fortune turned to watch, huddled in doorways and leaning against walls. A pair of children climbed up on a stack of crates and were whispering to each other. The fighters he'd hired to stand around and look intimidating put their hands on their weapons, frills coming up, claws unsheathed.
I've let you land in my town. I've let you come onto my streets. Speak now, or I will deny your petition without consideration.
Murmurs went up from the crowd. No one spoke to a hut that way and got away with it. For their part, the huts scoffed and gestured with their fans, making a show of scorn and incredulity.
You let us? You let us? Who do you think you are?
The first twin said.
Look around, you little human. Do you think you can stop us from doing as we please?
The second twin said a beat later. Boba turned and looked at the gathering around them. The mercenaries with their arms, the people waiting for a fight to break out, the huts on their palanquins, and the sweating, panting slaves who held them up. The rooftop, where Fennec was hidden with her sniper rifle.
Yes,
Boba said. He waited until the huts started to protest, before cranking the volume on his helmet and speaking over them.
Jabba the Hutt is gone. I, Boba Fett, am Daimyo here.
They sneered. Clearly, this was closer to what they had expected.
You are a false king. You have no right to the throne you sit upon. You took it from a pretender. This one is Jabba's true heir.
One of the twins gestured at the hutlet between them. The little one had gotten his hand stuck in the bucket that held his slugs, and had half rolled over in an effort to get it off.
A kingly figure,
Boba muttered. He had planned for this, and had his counter ready.
If you would claim this place by right of inheritance, then my right is older and deeper than any hut could lay claim to. This land has been claimed and stolen, inch by inch, from the vast desert. Every seed that finds root, every mouthful of water has been fought for. Before there was a palace on the hill, before there was a city carved into this crater, before the first settlers came with their vaporators, there was the desert. I was captured by the desert people. I dug in the sand with chains on my wrists. I earned my freedom through sweat and blood. I learned from them and earned my place. I have tamed the wild bantha. I have eaten the lizard. I proved myself a warrior in combat.
He lifted his gadarfi in both hands like the sand people did, before slamming the end into the dirt. The twins didn't seem to know what to do with this. They looked around. The toughs Boba had hired were making a show of things. They'd run if they came to a fight, but for now, it looked like the huts were facing even odds. Worse, in their minds, they were in the middle of the battlefield and in potential danger because of it. A child king was no good if he ended up dead.
No one recognizes the sand people,
one of the twins spat out. The other said something low in Huttese. The first nodded, smoothed out their blubber, and continued in a smoother tone.
It was Jabba and Jabba's people who conquered this planet. They dug the water out of the sand and forged this place of power.
More like his slaves,
Boba said. And this time, his murmur was echoed by the people watching. Everyone knew a hut never got off their ass when a slave could do the work.
You claim right of conquest,
Boba asked, when the mutterings had started to die down, but before the twins could say anything.
This little one was Jabba's only son and heir. He has a rightful claim to this territory. We are merely his guardians. We will act as overseers until he comes of age,
one of them said.
The right of conquest is his alone,
the other added. Boba narrowed his eyes behind his helmet. Throwing a youngling under the bus. That was cold, even for a hut. Still, he could work with this.
Leia Organa of the New Republic defeated Jabba in combat.
He turned and motioned to the statue.
If you recognize the right of conquest, then she is ruler here. And I am her hand.
He let the words echo slowly around the square, until all eyes were on the trio of huts, waiting for the next move. The hutling had managed to drop the bucket, and pointed imperiously until a slave picked it up and returned it to him. On either side of him, the twins exchanged looks and a few quiet words.
In the name of Leia the Hutt Slayer, I will take on any challenger in single combat.
Boba let his words roll over the crowd. He took up a fighting stance, his Gadderfear ready in his hands. There. That was his last card played. If they decided to fight, he would still be outnumbered and outgunned. He only had to hope that he had set things up to make a fight not worth the cost. Bluff and bravado, but real enough for what he needed. At the edges of things, the crowd was shifting. Boba saw a battered human pick up a rock. The Kefar from before had found a metal pole as long as his arm and looked ready to bludgeon someone over the head with it. An overseer who stood behind the huts cracked a whip, and a number of slaves whimpered. Boba waited.
Enough,
one of the twins said at long last. They turned to their retinue and said something in Huttese, before turning back to Boba.
The Hutt Syndicate has recognized the New Republic. We have an accord.
Boba wasn't sure if they were hiding behind that fact, or trying to use it as a reason not to get into something here and now. Either way, Boba let out a quiet breath behind his helmet. One of the twins waved their fan, and the palanquins were slowly turned until the huts could be carried away. Someone in the crowd yelled, "Boba in the Hutt Slayer!" A moment later, the crowd had flooded into the square. Boba let himself be swept away by the joy and relief.